Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Padanta Swamana Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivashesha Sunyavadi Paschatate Jitarni. So Om Gana Timidandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're going to talk about Lord Shiva tonight. So, of course, let's talk about what we call his ontological position first, which is a very fancy word. Ontological basically means your nature. You know, so like, let's say my ontological position is I'm a jiva soul. I'm part and parcel of Krishna, as Krishna says in the Gita. Mami vamsa jiva loke, jiva, bhuta, sanatana. Manashakshtani, Indriyani, Prakatishtani. What? Karshati. What is the meaning of that? Means what?
Troublesome.
Troublesome, yeah. Very good. So, Jiva soul is part and parcel of Krishna, and right now he's struggling very hard with Manashakshtani, Indriyani. What's that mean? That's right. He's a real scholar there. Manasya stani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. So he's struggling very hard with the six senses that include the mind. So that's my nature right now. Struggling very hard. I'm jiva soul, struggling very hard. And that's ontological position. You can use that word if you really want to impress people. And then Krishna's ontological position is what? Can anyone guess? What? Enjoyer, yeah, that's good. Vishnu Tattva. What's the first verse of the Brahma Samhita? Krishna. Satchitananda Vigraha. Nadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaranam. This really describes his ontological position, I think, almost better than any other verse. Krishna is the supreme control. Ishvara Padma Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. He has a body made of what? What does that mean? Yeah, Satchitananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir. What does that mean? Yeah, that's right. Wow, what a scholar here. He's the source of everything, and he doesn't have a source. Nadir Adir Govinda. Careful. And Govinda means what? And what else? Pleasure of the God. And Adir, Adir, Govinda. And then also, what? Sarva Karana Karana means what? He's the cause of all causes. He has no cause, and he's the cause of all causes. So this is Krishna's ontological position. So here we are, you're the jiva soul, was part and parcel of Krishna, and we're very tiny, and we're struggling with the six senses, includes the mind, and Krishna is not struggling with anything, because he's the cause of all causes, the supreme controller, and we are not the supreme of anything, and we can't control anything, even our minds. So where does Lord Shiva fit in all this? You know, you got Vishnu Tattva. Of course, there's another Tattva too. There's another category, which is called Shakti Tattva. Can anyone think of an example of Shakti Tattva? Radharani. The energy of the Lord. And there's many, like Lakshmi, was expansion of Radharani. And also Durga's expansion, she's Shakti also. So that's another category or ontological position. Because here we're talking about ontology. We're being very scientific here. And so then we ask, where does Lord Shiva fit in there? He's in a special category of his own. And sometimes that's described as Shiva Tattva. Because as the Brahma Sangita tells us, he's an expansion of Krishna, but an expansion of Krishna that deals with the material world, whereas Krishna is Goloka Nivashati Akilatma Bhuta. What does that mean? Galoka Ivinivashati Aki Latma Bhuta. That means he never leaves Vrindavan, Goloka Vashti. And by his energy, he's expanded everywhere. And that's the miracle of Achincha Veda Veda Tattva philosophy, which means Krishna is one and different from everything simultaneously, but personally, he never leaves Vrindavan. It's very interesting. But Krishna expands. Well, he has his various expansions. We call them the Chaturvyuha expansions. Chaturvyuha means, like in the case of Lord Ramchandra, Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, or Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pratyuna, and Aniruddha. And these expansions, these are called Vishnu Tattva expansions, which are non-different from Krishna. There's another verse in the Brahma Samhita. Dvaita Chuta Nadiyara Nantarupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Vedevishu Durlabhama Durlabhama Atma Bhakto Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Pajami. I'm not going to make you translate that. That there's one God, one Vishnu Tattva. That's a category, that's an ontological position. And he appears in various places simultaneously doing different things. But it's the same person. Like Ram and Krishna, they're the same. Like someone just wrote me a letter saying, what about someone who chants Ram Ram Hari Hari? Yeah, no, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. I said it's the same. Because as soon as when you start in the circle, you know, it actually ends up the same thing. So the Ram in the Hare Krishna mantra can mean Lord Ram, it can mean Balaram, it can also mean Radha Raman, which is interesting. And Hare refers to the energy of the Lord Srimati Radharani, who expands as the other gopis and ultimately the Lakshmis, etc. So Lord Shiva is in a category by himself, sometimes called Shiva Tattva. And the comparison given in the Brahma Samhita is that you have milk, and then the milk is transformed to yogurt. And it doesn't exactly act the same as milk, and you can't take yogurt and add something to it and get milk back. You can get paneer from yogurt. Many people, they make cheese or paneer from yogurt. So, but you can't get milk back from it. And you can also get butter from yogurt too, you know. You can churn the yogurt and actually get butter. And you get buttermilk also. So anyway, so Lord Shiva is a very special category by himself. And he deals with the material energy, whereas Krishna never touches the material energy. Even though Krishna is in the heart of everybody, he's not really touching the blood. It's like if you do a heart surgery and you open up your heart, not you open up, the doctors will do it, then you won't see Krishna there. You just see a lot of blood all over the place. Because if you're Hanuman, then if you do heart surgery, you'll see Ram and Sita there. But otherwise, you would just see blood. So Krishna is situated, and Prabhupada describes how the super soul is situated, Krishna is situated. He describes it like reflections on different bodies of water, which is really interesting. The presence is manifest. He's conscious, but he's not in the material world because he doesn't touch matter. Whereas Lord Shiva actually touches this matter. And by touching the matter, he actually gives birth to us, which is interesting. He's like our father. It's like some of you have seen the Shiva Ling, which is the Lord Shiva's, represents Lord Shiva's, the male organ of Lord Shiva. Because when Lord Vishnu expands himself as the Mahavishnu or Mahasankarshan, then he glances at the material energy, and that glance is called Shambhu or Lord Shiva. And so Lord Shiva consorts with this, I mean, has a relationship with Maya or Durga. And as a result, we're planted within this material energy by Lord Shiva. So he's the person who is our father, literally. I mean, Krishna's Ambija Pradapitaha. Krishna is the original father of everybody, but Lord Shiva, in one sense, is the father of all of our bodies. So we worship him like that. And that's why they worship the Shiva Linga along with the Yoni, because of the father and mother aspect of that. So that's Lord Shiva's very, very special position. Now, as a expansion of Krishna, or Vishnu, to be precise, He's an expansion of the form of Lord Vishnu known as Sada Shiva. The word Shiva actually means auspicious, and it's a name of Vishnu, which is interesting. As are many of the names of the demigods, in fact, like even the name Indra, although it generally refers to the person, you know, Indra was a real romantic guy in the heavenly planets, it actually means the greatest, you know. And Brahma means the greatest, too. So anyway, Shiva means, she's means auspicious, or the most auspicious. And so there's this Sada Shiva, the eternal Shiva in the spiritual world, who's Vishnu Tattva, and that's a category, not Shiva Tattva. And he is the one who expands ultimately through the Mahasankarshan, the Mahavishnu, as the Shiva of this world. Yeah. You understand? Shambhu. And there's other ways that Lord Shiva enters this world too. Some of you may be familiar with the Rudranis, Rudras, not Rudranis, they're his wives. The 11 Rudras that were created from the mind of Lord Brahma after Lord Brahma told his sons, the Kumaras, to get married, and they just said, no, Dad. And he was really angry. Talk about not being so compassionate. So he was really angry. And they said no, and he got angry, and the 11 Rudras came out of Lord Shiva's forehead. I mean, out of Lord Brahma's forehead. And they got so angry that they threatened to destroy the whole universe. And then the only thing that Lord Brahma could do was give them some wives to cool them down. And those are called the 11 Rudranis. It's an interesting story. So they are in the Bhagavatam. All these stories are there in the Bhagavatam and in the Puranas. So the thing that comes to my mind mostly is what you see there on the screen, is that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. Now, this is a quote from the Bhagavatam. And there's other quotes too, Vaishnava Yata Shambhu. So this quote from the Bhagavatam is Nimnagatam, Ninaganam, Yata Ganga Devanam, Machuto Yata, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Purananam Idam Tata. As the Ganga is the best of all the rivers, and Lord Krishna is the best of all lords, so Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost of all the Puranas. That's from the Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 13th chapter, text 16. Now, why do we say that he's the best of the Vaishnavas? First of all, we have to understand that all of Krishna's expansions all worship Krishna, which is interesting. Whether they're Vishnu Tattva expansions or other expansions like the category of Lord Shiva. Your dancers are coming soon, or? Should be. Yeah, they'll probably be here about 10 o'clock tonight, if we're lucky. That's good. Well, I'm not ending right now, too. I just want to prove my point about them being late. Just to say I told you so. So we talk about Lord Shiva being the greatest Vaishnava. Of course, he's Shiva Tattva, special category. So let us analyze what it means to be the greatest Vaishnava. I mean, some people think to be the greatest Vaishnava means to show the greatest ecstasy, or to have the most charisma, or to have the most disciples. Isn't that? I mean, we have all these like external symptoms or external types of measurements by which we determine whether someone is the greatest. Or the richest man, you like Bill Gates, you know, he must be the greatest. Or, because he's not the richest man. I think there's a richer people. So anyway, but really amongst Vaishnavas, what makes someone great is their compassion. As described by Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, was that Tatikshiva Kurunika Surada Sarvadena Majata Shatrava Shanta Sadava Sadavushana? That a Vaishnava is known by his qualities, that Tatikshiva, first of all, he's tolerant. Karunika is full of mercy, because you cannot be full of mercy or merciful without being tolerant. Just like Lord Nityananda, whose appearance day we celebrated some time ago. He was so tolerant, he was attacked by Madai, who caused him to bleed. And then he was begging that Madai would be forgiven. You know, Jagai and Madai's story. So that's Tatikshava, because it's easy to be Karunika, merciful to someone who's nice to you. You know, someone gives you a big donation or something, you say, oh, blessings. You have all my blessings. And someone who steals from you, I curse you. So it's so Vaishnava is so merciful. With they're here?
Yeah.
Amazing grace. So Vaishnava is so merciful, whether you steal from them or give him something, he's still Pandita Samadarshana. He's equal to everyone, to Tiksha Kurunika. And then the next word is Surada Sarvadehinam. He's a friend. Sarvadehinam means everyone. No friends, no enemies, but everyone equal. Suridam, not only a friend, but he's the well-wisher of everyone. Suridam Sarvadehinam. And then Ajata Shatra Shanta. He has no enemies or enemies. His enemies are not born. Shanta, he's peaceful. Sadhava Sadhabhushana. These are the ornaments. And so you can see that Lord Shiva exhibits these qualities to the topmost degree. Because he's so tolerant, just like sometimes here running the Hare Krishna temple, you have to be tolerant of so many people. That's true. I mean, it's just, you spend a few nights here and you'll see what I'm talking about. So Lord Shiva, his ashram is filled with bhutas, preta, pisachas. What is that? Hobgoblins, yeah. You know, it's all sorts of living entities in the mode of ignorance. It's called Bhutanath. You know, he's the lord of those living entities or bhutas. Bhutanath. So that's mercy. That shows the topmost tolerance, isn't it? Just like all of us, sometimes we reach the end of our tolerance. Sometimes you hear, I need to get away for a few days. Lord Shiva never gets away for a few days. So, Tatikshiva Kurunika. And he's so merciful that he gives these living entities who are in his ashram, he gives them Krishna consciousness. One way he gives them, many ways, of course he preaches to them, but he also arranges for them to take birth in different places. And of course, in the Bhagavatam, it describes that he arranges in interesting ways when people are not following the rules and regulations too strictly. We're not going to get into the details. But he's very compassionate. And because of that, he's very easily pleased. And also easily angered. Because he's not in the mode of ignorance. You know, he's the guna avatar. He's the avatar. The guna avatar means those who control the different gunas. Like Lord Shiva controls the mode of ignorance, Lord Vishnu the mode of goodness, and Lord Brahma the mode of passion. So as the guna avatar of the mode of ignorance, he's not in ignorance, but he's dealing with it all the time and dealing with living entities who are ignorant. And you see that in many, many cases, those who worship Lord Shiva. And there are many Shiva bhaktas. And ultimately, those Shiva bhaktas become Vishnu bhaktas because Lord Shiva advises them. I'm going to read something. Phew, I'm going to go longer than I had planned. But anyway, and this is something I read the other day, actually on Shiva Ratri, which is Lord Shiva's advice to his wife as well as his advice to his bhaktas. And this happened on I'm going to summarize some of this. This happened in Mount Kailash. And the goddess Gauri is actually glorifying Lord Shiva. And she's asking Lord Shiva to cut apart her doubt. And then Lord Shiva begins to glorify her, which is actually the proper thing. And he says, I'm going to tell you something very, very secret. And you shouldn't reveal this secret to anyone. But if you hear the secret, and this secret will bring the final goal of life, and you'll get material happiness as well as spiritual happiness if you know this secret. I'm just summarizing these verses since we don't have a lot of time. And now I'll read some of the verses. I will tell you this, O beloved, please listen carefully. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His form is spiritual. He is never touched by matter. In order to rescue the people from the ocean of repeated birth and death again and again, he appears in the form of Lord Ranganath and the forms of countless other deities in every corner of the three worlds. The great fools of this world have no devotion for Lord Vishnu. They do not understand he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always untouched by matter, the Supreme Lord, who is known as Narayana and Hari, who delights his devotees, manifests his form as a coward boy to enjoy pastimes in the land of Vrindavan. This is from the Sammohan Tantra, which is a very important Vedic literature, in a discussion between Durga and Lord Shiva. Playing on the flute, he brings great happiness to Sri Radha. His incarnations, partial incarnations, and the parts of his partial incarnations are all present in the form of a coward boy. That coward boy is Sri Krishna Chand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the son of the coward Nanda. His mother is Yashoda, who is the goddess Dara and brings great happiness. O queen of the demigods, requested by Brahma, the demigods and his parents, the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Vasudevan Devaki. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the giver of liberation, was born on the earth. He breathed the Vedas into his flute. With his flute, he spoke. In this way, he was born on this earth. I meditate on him, the eternal dark splendor that is the treasure of the earth. O auspicious one, a person who worships, glorifies, or studies the dark splendor that is Lord Krishna, but does not worship, glorify, or study the fair splendor that is Sri Radha, finds that he lives in hell. O great goddess, a person who thinks Radha and Krishna are different becomes a Brahmin murderer, a wine drinker, a thief of gold, and an outcast. He becomes contaminated with all these sins. The splendid Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested in two forms. He is both Radha and Krishna. O great goddess, in this way the Lord is manifest as a coward boy. When Durvasa Muni was bewildered by the rasa dance in the month of Kartika, Sri Radha asked a question to break his doubt. O queen of the universe, then Lord Krishna explained the pure spiritual truth to Radha, Narada, and me. In Kali Yuga, all the sincere Vaishnavas learn this truth from Narada. O queen of the demigods, please keep this secret safely and carefully. O queen of the demigods, this truth should not be given to a wicked person, a miser, or a person filled with pride. One who does so commits the sin of killing a Brahmin. Therefore, please keep this secret carefully. So these are Lord Shiva's own words as the greatest of the Vaishnavas. And we'll look at a few slides now about Lord Shiva. So in many places in the scriptures, here's Lord Shiva meditating on Krishna. You're going to find information about Lord Shiva's worship of Krishna. There's the verse we just quoted, you know, Vaishnavana Mita Shambhu from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the sixth canto, we're informed that Lord Shiva is one of the Dwadasha Mahajanas, one of the great Mahajans or great souls, who set the example for all others, as described in the Mahabharata, Mahajaniyena Gatasupanta. And then in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva states that if anyone reads his Rudra Gita prayer, he will invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. These are Lord Shiva's prayers in the fourth canto. And then in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Lord Shiva exhibiting his extreme mercy by drinking the poison that was created from the churning of the milk ocean. We all know that story, the demigods and the demons, they got together to churn the milk ocean. So many things happened or came out of that milk ocean, like Lakshmi, Kamadenu, Aravata. But also what came out, whenever you get something good, you also got to take the bad with it. There was the Halahala, the poison that was ready to destroy the whole universe. And the demigods went to Lord Shiva, and what did he do? He drank the poison. And his name as a result is what? Nilakanta means blue-throated one. Because he drank out of compassion This also shows his great compassionate nature. And he did this to please Lord Vishnu. Then in the Padma Purana, these are different statements by Lord Shiva. Shri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Mano Rame Sahasra Nama Tat Talyam Rama Rama Varanane. You know that quote. So he speaks and he tells his wife that he's relishes the chanting of what? Lord Ram's name. Lord Shiva initiated his own wife, Parvati, in the chanting of Ram's name. Ram Nam, such a, I know they say that at funerals, but Ram's name is the truth. And so it's interesting that Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, also took initiation of the Hare Krishna mantra from Haridas Thakur. And Lord Shiva's ontological position is also revealed when he confronts the Mohini Murti incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After Mohini Murti bewildered all the demons and stole the nectar and gave it to the demigods, except for Ketu, right? And then what happened is that Lord Shiva wanted to see that form. And Lord Vishnu manifested the form, and Lord Shiva, he just like, I hate to use the word, he lost it. He started chasing the Mohini Murti form all over the place, being attracted. So that shows that Lord Vishnu's superior position. And then these are just different quotes from the Bhagavad Gita. We find when Krishna displays his universal form, Arjuna sees assembled in Krishna's body all the demigods and various living entities, and Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and all the sages and divine serpents. So within the universal form, Krishna is manifesting Lord Shiva. So you can actually see in this way, there's so many proofs that Lord Shiva does come from Vishnu or from Krishna. And we're going to talk about this in a second, how the next slide actually, Lord Shiva sometimes becomes a gopi. And then in the Smriti Shastra, it is said that Lord Shiva constantly chants the what's called the Taraka Brahma Mantra. What is that? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It stated there, it is through this mantra that Krishna delivers, Lord Shiva delivers the people in Kashi. This is the truth. This is the statement from the Smriti Shastra. This is the truth. This is the truth. It is only by chanting this great mantra that Lord Shiva killed Tripurasura. So when Lord Shiva was confronting Tripurasura, he was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the Smriti Shastras. Go on to the next slide. And here we see one of my favorite forms of Lord Shiva. And this form is called Gopishra Mahadev. So this form is the form of Lord Shiva as a what? As a gopi. Because in order to see Krishna's rasa dance in Vrindavan, you have to have a female form. And there's a verse from the Srimad, it's not from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's actually for the Smriti Shastras. Srimad Gopishvaram Bande Sankaram Koruna Mayam Sarva Klesha Haram Devam Vrindaranyam Rati Padam. Actually, it's from the Bhakti Ratnakara, which is Smriti Shastra. I offer my respectful obeisances to Gopishvara Mahadev, who is merciful Lord Shiva himself. He removes all troubles and grants spiritual love in Vrindavan. And not only does Lord Shiva guard Vrindavan as Gopishvara Mahadev, but he also guards all the different abodes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like if you go to Radha Kund, you'll see Kundeshwara Mahadev. And actually, there's not only Kundeshwara Mahadev in Radha Kund, there's Lord Shiva guarding all four directions in Radha Kund. And if you go Kamyavan, who's in Kamyavan? Does anyone know? Think about it. What's Lord Shiva's name there? Kameshwara Mahadev, yeah. So wherever you go where there's Krishna's pastimes taking place or any of the expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you actually find Lord Shiva there. And There's actually a beautiful verse from the Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, Sai Bhakta Vinod Thakur. Vrindavani Pate Jaya Soma Soma Mole Sanaka Sanantana Sanatana Nara Deja Gopishra Varaja Vilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayacha Nirupadi Namo Namaste. O gatekeeper of Vrindavan, O Soma, all glories to you. O you whose forehead is decorated with the moon and is worshipable by the sages headed by Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Narada. O Gopishra Shiva, desiring that you bestow upon me that prema for the lotus feet of Sri Radha Madhava, who perform joyous pastimes in Brajadam, I offer obeisances unto you time and again. So we need Lord Shiva's blessings to enter the holy dham of Vrindavan. And so finally, we'd like to end with the eight prayers written to Lord Shiva that were composed by Murari Gupta. And Murari Gupta, of course, is Hanuman in Lord Chaitanya's, well, he's not Hanuman in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, but he's an incarnation of Hanuman who appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as a physician and was an intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll quickly read these. Actually, it's almost time. Let me put it closer so I can see better. Can you all see there? Okay. Namo namaste tri dasheshvaraya bhutare nataya mridaya nityam ganga tarango titabala chandra judaya gori nayanotsavaya. I repeatedly offer my obeisances unto you, the controller of the 30 primal demigods, unto you, the original father of all created beings, unto you, whose character is gracious, unto you, whose head is crested by the sickle moon, arisen from the waves of the Ganga, and unto you, who are a festival for the eyes of the fair goddess Gauri. So that's one point that I forgot to mention, that Lord Shiva caught the Ganges when it was coming down to the earth, because Bhagirath understood that the Ganges was going to go through the earth planet and split it. So he needed someone to carry the force of the Ganges, and the Ganges was so forceful and actually proud that Lord Shiva didn't let her out. So Bhagirath had to pray that she would be let out from Lord Shiva's hair. Lord Shiva was so powerful, he could hold the whole Ganges River in. Next prayer. Sutapta chamai chami karachandra nila padma pravalam budakanti vastrai sanuchyarangestra varapradaya kaivaya nathaya vrishadvachaya. I offer my obeisances unto you who are dressed in garments resembling molten gold, the moon, blue lotuses, coral, and dark rain clouds. Unto you who bestow the most desirable boons on your devotees by means of your delightful dancing. Unto you who are the master of the impersonalists, and unto you whose flag bears the image of a bull. Sudamsu suragni vilochanena tamobide te jagatashivaya sahasasumramsu sahasrarasmi sahasasanjit. I offer my obeisances unto you who dispels darkness with your three eyes, the moon, the sun, and fire, unto you who causes auspiciousness for all living entities of the universe, and unto you whose potency easily defeats that of thousands of moons and suns. Nagesha ratno jvala vigrahaya Shardula charamam shukadvijya tejase sahasrapatro parisam sitaya varangada mukta bhujadvatyaya. Whoops, too fast. I offer my obeisances unto you, whose form is brilliantly illuminated by the jewels of Ananta, the king of snakes, unto you who are clothed by a tiger skin, and thus radiate divine effulgence unto you who sits upon a thousand-petaled lotus, and unto you whose two arms are adorned by lustrous bangles. Asunu pararanjita pada padma sharat sura pracha sukha pradaya Vichitra Ratnao Gavibhushataya Premanname Vadya Haro Videhi. I offer my obeisances unto you who brings happiness to your servitors as you pour on them the liquid nectar from your two reddish lotus feet which ring with charming ankle bells. Obeisances unto you who was adorned with an abundance of gems. Please endow me with pure love for Lord Hari. Shri Rama Govinda Mukunda Shahre, Shri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva, Ityari Namamrita Panamata, Bringari Payakila Dukha Hantre, O Shri Rama Govinda Mukunda Shahre, O Shri Krishna, O Narayana O Vasudeva, I offer my obeisances unto you, Lord Shiva, the monarch of intoxicated bee-like devotees, maddened by drinking the nectar of these and other holy names of the Lord, obeisances unto you, the destroyer of all grief. Actually, when Lord Shiva sings the holy names of the Lord, he becomes so ecstatic that sometimes it thinks that the whole seems like the whole universe is going to be destroyed. Even when he took the Mahaprasadam, just a little speck of Mahaprasadam, the whole universe was actually threatened and he had to be stopped by Durga. And he didn't share any of the Mahaprasadam with Durga. Durga got very upset, worshipped Vishnu and Krishna agreed to give us all Mahaprasadam by her mercy. So text 7. Shri Naradayai satatam sugopya yigasita yashuvara pradaya tebnyo harervati sukhapadaya shivaya vasarva gurave namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you who is forever inquired of confidentiality by Sri Narada and other sages, unto you who also grants favors to them very quickly, unto you who bestows the happiness of Hari Bhakti, unto you who creates auspiciousness, and unto you who is the guru of everyone. Shri Gauri Nitro Sabha Mangalaya Tatrana Nataya Rasapradaya Sadasamutkanta Govindaliya Nana Pravinaya Namostutubhyam. I offer my obeisances unto you who are a festival of auspiciousness for the eyes of Goddess Gauri, unto you who is the monarch of her life breath, unto you who is capable of bestowing transcendental ras, and unto you, who is expert and forever singing songs of the pastimes of Lord Govinda with great longing. And this, of course, is the Shruti Pala, which comes at the end. Shruti Pala means the fruits of hearing. You know, fruit, pala, fruits, Shruti of hearing. So this is a standard in Vaishnava poetry and also in the scriptures like the Bhagavatam, Puranas, and other things. Like anyone who hears this chapter gets this particular benediction. Etachivasyashtakam adbhutam mahat shrinvan hari prema labeta sigram jnanancha vijnanam apurvavaya bhavam yo bhava purna paramam samadaram. A person filled with loving feelings who hears with rapt attention this wonderful eightfold prayer to Lord Shiva can quickly gain Sri Hari prema, as well as transcendental knowledge, the realization of that knowledge, and unprecedented powers. And, of course, we are celebrating Shivaratri, the glorious appearance of Lord Shiva. So, Lord Shiva ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Golokananda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. So, I think we'll end here if they're ready to dance. Why don't you check with our Shiva dancers. They're ready? 1 minute. So anybody have any questions while we're waiting a lifetime of Brahma minute? Yes. It's very hard for me to understand with the mask. Right, just take it down for a second while you're asking a question. Yes. Parvati is also, she's sometimes considered the material energy personified, but she's a pure devotee. She's called Vaishnavi. In fact, that is what Lord Shiva called Parvati. When Parvati asked for Mahaprasadam, Lord Shiva said, "You're the material energy personified. You can't get Mahaprasadam." But she's a Shakti of the Supreme Personality of God who comes in contact with matter and manifests matter. But she's not material. She's Vaishnavi. She's a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And she tested Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur passed, and she took initiation from Haridas Thakur. So, you ready? Okay, you can disconnect my microphone and connect your... Unless you want to do Bluetooth. No, why don't you just plug in, so. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, so she'll... These dances are headed up by Champakalata, who is actually... How can I describe enough the dancing ability? Her whole life. I've known Champakalata since she was about this small. Yeah, that small. And her whole life she's been dancing for Krishna. She's a second generation devotee, daughter of Armila Devi Dasi. And she's just dedicated to serving Krishna. And every morning during Mangal Arati and also the Darshan Arati, the greeting of the deities, she's dancing for Krishna. In other words, like the Devadasis in the temple. She's actually dedicated. She's taken a vow of dedication to Radha Golokananda, right? So if you're interested in seeing her every morning, you go online. Generally, it's on my Facebook page, her dancing. So my Facebook page is BK Goswami, Veer Krishna Goswami Das, or something like that. Yes. And you can see her dancing every morning. Of course, we also have the deities too, you know. It's not that my whole page is dedicated to her dancing. But also, anyway, every morning you can come. You're all invited to come and see her dance for the deities and emote through the mudras and the dance steps, which I don't know anything about, the meaning of each and every song that we're singing. We're singing the song, the glorification of the spiritual master, Gauravashtaka, in the morning, and each and every word she manifests perfectly through the mudras and the dance steps, right? Okay. On that happy note. Okay, now she and her troupe. What's the name of your troupe? The Padma Dancers? Radha Golokananda Dancers. And also, I got a surprise, in Gaur Purnima, they're doing a very nice play, a Mukta Charita play. Which, if you don't know what that is, that's the pearl pastime. Of Krishna growing pearls and the gopis trying to grow pearls and the arguments between the gopis and Krishna and ultimately the gopis surrendering to Krishna and getting pearls. So that's going to be done as part of the Gaur Purnima festival, which is exactly in 2 weeks from now. Sunday, 2 weeks from now. That's pretty ecstatic. So we're all looking forward to seeing that they've been practicing now for 4 or 5 months, right? 4 or 5 months. About 4 months. It's very exciting. And they're very expert, the best in the world. Okay, on that happy note, you can do your thing. You can unplug my thing.
Oh, okay.
It says temple room. It says temple room. You got to turn it up.
Oh, stop So the first dance that we'll be presenting, it's called the Kalpams, and these are dances of invocation. So at the beginning of a dance performance in Bharatanatyam, we always
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's working.
Of course, today we are celebrating Shivratri.
Okay, so turn it
back. So these invocation items are being offered to Lord Shiva's two sons, Ganesha and Kartikeya, and then finally to Lord Nataraj himself. Nataraj means the king of dancers. So Shivratri is always a very fun and joyous day to dance. And in fact, the three dances we'll be presenting today, actually a total of six, because there's three Kalpams, they all really emphasize and focus on Lord Shiva's joyous dancing. He's famous for his Tandav Nritya, which is the dance of destruction, but he doesn't only dance at the time of destruction. He's always dancing. Every time he thinks of Krishna, which is all the time, he can't help but spontaneously dance. And that's why he is known as Lord Nataraja or Natesha, which means the king of dance. So in the first item, Ganesha Kautvam, there's a description of Ganapati and a prayer to Lord Ganesha that he will please remove all of the obstacles in our bhakti path in our devotional service. The one about Kartikeya, also there's the prayer that he remove obstacles. And there's also a glorification. He's the commander of the demigods. So there's a glorification of his prowess. And specifically the story of how he circled the earth. He had a competition actually with his brother Ganesha, who could circle the world first. So maybe you all know this story, that Karthikeya actually circled the world, whereas Ganesha circled his parents. And he said, they are my world. So it's a funny story. And then finally, there's the Natesha Gautam, which, like I said, really focuses on his dancing. These Gautams were actually researched and discovered by my dance teacher, Sudha Chandrasekhar, back in, I believe, the 1960s, when she was in her late teens, early 20s. And they have now become famous all over the world, and they're considered, you could say, almost like the Mangala Charana prayers of Bharatanatyam. They're always done as like the first items in a recital. And so we present the Kalpams. Thank you.
Get up,
So, too loud. The next item is called Shankara. It is a very vibrant, very exciting dance. It's a song, actually, from a very popular film that is actually, it's about devotees of Lord Shiva. And one of them, I guess he's the hero, or one of the heroes, he sings this song to Lord Shiva at the temple. And like I said, it really emphasizes his beautiful dancing. But it also talks about how he embodies the mantra Om and how he is representing the Vedas. And also he's represented by sound, by music, in the meditation of the great devotees and the yogis. But yeah, the part about his dance is where it gets very exciting, that when he smiles, his teeth flash like lightning, and the thunder, his dancing feet overwhelm everyone in the universe. And so Mancha has taken it on herself, actually, to learn this dance. Shankara, please enjoy.
Shankara Nada Sharira Para Ve veda vihara hara jiveshwara shankara nada sharira para veda vihara hara jiveshwara shankara ಕ್ಷಣ ಜ್ಞಾನ ವಿಲಕ್ಷಣ ರಾಗ ಮೇ ಯೋಗಮಣಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಮು ನೀವನಿ ಗಾನಮೆ ನೀದನಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಮೆ ಗಾನಮಣಿ ಮೌನ ವಿಚಕ್ಷಣ ಜ್ಞಾನ ವಿಲಕ್ಷಣ ರಾಗ ಮೇ ಯೋಗಮಣಿ ನಾದೋಪಾಸನ ಚೇಸಿನ ಜಿತ ಹಿಮಗಿರೀಂದ ಸಿತ ಕಂದರ ನೀಲ ಕಂದರ ಹುದ್ದುಳೆರುಗ ನೀ ಹುದ್ರವೀಣ ಲಿಂಗಿದ್ರ ಗಾನ ಮಿದಿ ಅವಧರಿಂತರ ತಿಳಿತರಿಂತರ ಶಂಕರ ನಾದ ಶರೀರ ಪರ ವೇದ ವಿಹಾರ ಹರ ಜೀವೇಶ್ವರ ಶಂಕರ మెరిసే మెరుపులు మురిసే పెదవుల చిరు చిరు నవ్వులు కాబోలు ఉరిమే ఉరుములు సరి సరి నటనల సిరి సిరి మూవలు కాబోలు మెరిసే మెరుపులు మురిసే పెదవుల చిరు చిరు నవ్వులు కాబోలు ఉరిమే ఉరుములు సరి సరి నటనల సిరి సిరి మూవలు కాబోలు పరవశాన శిరసు గంగా ధరకు జారిన శివగంగా ಪರವಶಾನ ಶಿರಸು ಗಂಗಾ ಹರಕು ಧಾರಣ ಶಿವಗಂಗ ನಾಗಾನದ ಹರಿನು ಮುನುಗಂಗ ಆನಂದ ವೃಷ್ಟಿನೆ ಕಡವಂಗ ಶಂಕರ ನಾದ ಶರೀರ ಪರ ವೇದ ವಿಹಾರ ಜೀವೇಶ್ವರ ಶಂಕರ ಶಂಕರ ಶಂಕರ
Our final item is called Ananda Nadamidum Rajane, which means the king of dance dances with Ananda, dances with great joy. This song was actually written by a lyricist and composer and Carnatic singer who has been working with my dance teacher, Sudha Chandrasekhar, for many, many years. His name is Gopal Venkatraman, and he's a musical genius. He's amazing. For this song, I actually have the English dubbing on it so that you can understand it as we're dancing it. One of the sections of it really emphasizes Lord Shiva's part in the creation, how he's the father of the creation. So we really describe what that looks like in terms of creating all the different elements in the world. And so, like I said, this is our final item, Ananda Nadamidum Rajane. Across his face. destroys, conceals, and blesses. The world's creatures are protected by this play of his. Hare Krishna, thank you very, very, very much. It was very sweet when no one was coming and we were just dancing for Radha Golokananda, and it's even sweeter now that everyone's coming. We say that Shukadev Goswami, that he tastes the Bhagavatam, and then from his lips it becomes sweeter, because the parrots, they bite the mangoes and they become sweeter. So when we experience this through your eyes, it becomes sweeter. So thank you very, very much for coming. We have Shreya. We have Shrujana. Rajvi. Radha Smarana. And Mancha. Thank you very much, Gurudev, for encouraging us all to dance for Krishna. It's because of you that we all feel welcome and inspired and enlivened to offer this art form for Radha Golokananda's and the Vaishnava's pleasure. Thank you very much.
We also want to thank, Urmila Devi Dasi for raising a very nice daughter in Krishna consciousness who was... You did something right. A lot of things right. And raised a lot of children in Krishna consciousness nicely. And we're very thankful. The second generation devotees. And then now we have third generations, ISKCON 3.0 and ISKCON 4.0. So it's very inspiring to see these devotees dancing, engaging their talents in Krishna service. And every morning you get a chance to see Champaka dancing if you come here. So this is actually for the pleasure of the deities, and it's a tradition. It's a tradition, and it's a very wonderful tradition that's, inspiring for all of us. So thank you very much for taking the trouble, and we're looking forward 2 weeks from now, seeing the Mukta Charita, one of my favorite works. So happy Shivaratri. Okay.
Also, big thanks to Champaka Lata Devi Dasi for regaling us with such wonderful pastimes. He actually enriches our lives a lot here through dance and also through school and all of her teachings. And we're really grateful that she's here and she's helping us all be a little more Krishna conscious every day. Thank you very much. And thank you all for coming. There is some of you I haven't seen in quite a long time. It's very nice to see everyone. Please welcome back to New Goloka. And prasadam is served downstairs in Prabhupada Hall. And if you'd like, you can take it to go. But thank you so much for coming. And hopefully, as things get a little more open, we'll be able to welcome you on a more regular basis. And please do, 2 weeks from now, please come for our Gaur Purnima celebration as we rejoice in the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll hear a lot about his lifetime and pastimes, and also see a wonderful play and have prasadam. So hopefully things are getting a little bit back to normal. So thank you all so much for coming. It's really great to see everybody. Hare Krishna.